Our next speaker is Lori Feldman-Winter. She is the Division Head of Adolescent Medicine at Cooper University Hospital in Camden, New Jersey, and Professor of Pediatrics at Cooper Medical School of Rowan University. She is the Physician Champion of the New Jersey Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative, a project of the AAP New Jersey PCORE and Shaping New Jersey, funded by the CDC. She is policy chair for the AAP section on breastfeeding and currently serves as the national faculty chair of the NICHQ Best Fed Beginnings Project. Lori?
Good morning. So, almost good afternoon. I think the United States could learn a lot about the Hong Kong implementation of the WHO Code of Marketing. So, that sounds like an exciting project. So this morning, let's see, can't do the arrows. I'm supposed to click, right? Yeah, okay. I have no disclosures. You've heard all my disclosures from Dr. Edwards. And our learning objectives really, for my part of the presentations this morning, is to better understand, although we've heard a lot of good examples, about the association between widespread implementation of the 10 steps and infant feeding outcomes. And this is in association with our statewide coalition in New Jersey. So a little background. Before our project began in 2010, we had no baby-friendly designated hospitals in New Jersey, and we had, according to the CDC report card, one of the highest rates of formula supplementation. Our overall breastfeeding rates were similar to sort of the middle range of overall breastfeeding initiation in the country, in U.S. However, we had, unfortunately, a very high rate of infant formula supplementation for those breastfeeding moms. And so we embarked on one of the CDC CPBW STI grants that permitted us to organize in the state and organize around a coalition that brought together the American Academy of Pediatrics in New Jersey and the Department of Health. And we convened our first baby-friendly hospital summit, and then we raised awareness about the opportunity to have mini-grants to be helped, as well as the mini-grants to be able to achieve baby-friendly designation. So, as mentioned, the Department of Health in New Jersey, along with the American Academy of Pediatrics, and I served as the pediatrician champion for that project, brought together a set of goals and our overarching aim, which was to help hospitals become baby-friendly designated with an aim to get at least two of them designated by the end of our one-year project period. And in doing so, we also collaborated with the New Jersey Breastfeeding Coalition, focusing on steps 3 and 10, which really reached out to the community. And so the core team developed a project plan, which included opportunities for recruitment of hospitals in New Jersey. We weren't sure if anybody was really interested in being baby friendly when we all got started. To our surprise, there was interest out there. And so we convened our first statewide summit, and we were thrilled with the number of participants. Nearly all of our delivery hospitals actually participated in our first statewide summit on breastfeeding. And after our hospitals were selected, we had 10 hospitals that were selected, we conducted our first learning session with a really long action period. So we sort of violated the breakthrough series model in that we only really had one learning session where we brought all of our teams together, and then had a year-long period where we conducted a number of technical assistance calls or action period calls, and we also had mechanisms to do web sharing of ideas, and we conducted site visits for all of the hospitals in New Jersey. Did a bit of travel. We, in this evaluation component, looked at all 10 of our hospitals participating in this state-supported project and looked at their overall and exclusive breastfeeding rates using the New Jersey electronic birth certificate data before and after project implementation. So just a little background, the New Jersey electronic birth certificate has been capturing breastfeeding, both overall breastfeeding and exclusive breastfeeding, since about 1999, and we've been reporting that publicly for New Jersey hospitals so that there's transparency, there's an awareness of what every hospital is doing in New Jersey related not only to overall breastfeeding, but as mentioned, exclusive breastfeeding. And in that, we're able to examine healthy babies, healthy term babies, as well as the NICU discharges. And so for this project, we actually looked both at the healthy babies as well as the NICU populations. The hospitals that were selected varied in terms of how they took on the project. Some worked on some steps and others worked on other steps with more attention. And we assessed the implementation or what they deem mastery of each of these steps along the way. So the steps mastered by the hospitals were assessed by a completion of a modified self-appraisal tool. This was actually modified from the Baby Friendly USA self-appraisal tool that hospitals complete at the beginning of their journey through the now new 4D pathway to becoming baby friendly. We modified it to include a little bit of a Likert scale, and then we went back to each of the teams to just validate how the teams were doing in each one of the sub-steps that really underpin each one of the 10 steps. And then we looked at their breastfeeding data in the first quarter of 2010, which was really before anybody had an awareness even of the grant opportunity, before the statewide summit. And to choose the same period of time, we compared that to the first quarter data from 2012, which was after the quarter that immediately followed the completion of our project period. And as a reminder, the New Jersey electronic birth certificate data does capture breastfeeding for the 24 hours that immediately precede discharge from the hospital. That has actually evolved so that now we're beginning to capture the entire delivery hospital period to be consistent with the Joint Commission new mandate as of January 2014. So we'll have a little shift in our ability to look longitudinally over our reports in New Jersey, but we'll have the benefit of really capturing that entire delivery hospital period moving forward. So our results, first in terms of just some background about these 10 hospitals, they differed in terms of the region. We selected hospitals really throughout the state and differed in terms of the size of the hospital, from our smallest hospital delivering 748 babies per year to our largest hospital delivering over 4,000 babies per year. They also differed in terms of their perinatal risk score, and this is a score that the Department of Health assigns to each of the delivery hospitals based on a number of risk factors that are attributed to the severity of illness, the level of NICU use. The higher the score, it's a score of 0 to 5, and the higher the score relates to the sicker the population, so the more higher acuity of care. So as you can see, we had very low-level acuity care hospitals, as well as some that had 4 out of 5 levels of acuity care. And in terms of the population served, again, we had a mix. Many of the hospitals were selected because they served a very diverse population. New Jersey's fairly diverse, just as taken as an entire state in terms of representing the ethnic and as well as cultural and economic diversity, and we tried to select hospitals from varied parts of the state that represented various populations. Oops. So all 10 of the hospitals that we worked with did adopt a policy that we actually authored to help facilitate the writing of their own infant feeding policies. So we helped get them past the first step, and they've all adopted that policy in different formats. Every hospital has their different methods of developing policies and calling things policies as opposed to protocols. So they took elements of the global infant feeding policy that we created to help them. They also all stopped giving out the infant formula company discharge bags, which was a new thing for New Jersey, because prior to that, all of our hospitals in New Jersey had been giving out the marketing discharge bags. We're happy to share that three of the hospitals that we worked with did achieve baby-friendly designation. There's one other hospital as well in New Jersey. So now we have four hospitals, and we have about half of the hospitals in New Jersey that are on the 4D pathway to become baby-friendly, and many that are in the final designation phase. So we feel like we're making progress. In terms of the outcomes, as you can see, in about a quarter of delivery hospital period for the 10 hospitals that we selected, we had about 4,000 births among the 10 hospitals, and our overall breastfeeding rate in our births, and this is a universal sample, so every baby is captured, we had an overall increase in breastfeeding by about 5%, and an exclusive breastfeeding increase by almost 11%. We were surprised to see that there was also a significant increase in the overall and exclusive breastfeeding rates in the NICU population. And while the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative isn't really targeted to the NICU population, there are elements that sort of carry over into the NICU, certainly step five, where moms that deliver babies that are separated and ultimately end up in the NICU is really focused on mothers of NICU babies. It's designed to assist and support those mothers with expressing their milk within at least 6 hours after delivery. But I think there's also sort of the cultural carryover that occurs in any hospital going through this process toward baby-friendly designation, that the NICU nurses, as well as the lactation consultants, as well as the physicians, even the neonatologists, very often serve as the physician champions on teams that are going through this process. So we're looking at each of the hospitals individually. 5 out of 10 of the hospitals actually had statistically significant improvements in their exclusive breastfeeding rates, and these are ordered by number of steps achieved. So the top bar is the hospital that achieved the most number of steps during this process. And then in the NICU discharges, again, many of the hospitals had increases, not all of the hospitals, but many of the hospitals individually had increase in their NICU discharges for exclusive breastfeeding, again, about half. When we look at the number of steps that were mastered during the project period, again, you can see that we've ordered these by increases in exclusive breastfeeding, so most of the hospitals increased the number of steps that they had in place by the end of the project period. Only one of our hospitals didn't increase the number of steps. Actually, they went back a step, and we think maybe because they became more rigorous at actually looking at what they were doing, they were more aware of what they weren't doing by the end of the project period than before we got started. But we had an average of about 4 new steps mastered. As I said, each step is really a compilation of all of the different substeps, of which there could be 6 or 7 different substeps within each step. And finally, we wanted to see if there was an association between the steps that were implemented and the increases that we saw in exclusive breastfeeding. And when we looked at the change in exclusive breastfeeding over the project period, and analyze that by the number of steps implemented during the project period, so this is just the number of new steps, we saw that there was a strong correlation between changes in exclusive breastfeeding and new number of steps that were implemented. In addition, when we looked at the end of the project period, just at the overall exclusive breastfeeding rate at the end of the project period, similar to other studies looking at duration of breastfeeding as a dose response to steps implemented, we looked at sort of the dose response, if you will, of the steps implemented at the end of the project period and saw, again, a strong correlation with total number of steps implemented and exclusive breastfeeding rates at discharge. So there are several limitations to this study. We only looked at 10 out of 52 of our delivery hospitals in the project, and they were not randomly selected. They were actually selected based on applications. There were no control hospitals in this study, so we didn't make any comparisons to what was happening among other hospitals in New Jersey at the same time, although I can just tell you off the cuff that we have been slower in our progress to increase. In fact, for the last 10 years since we've been collecting data on the electronic birth certificate, we've only seen a decline in exclusive breastfeeding over that period of time. And now we're just starting to see a little bit of an adjustment and an incline. So for the very first time, we're not seeing a decline in exclusive breastfeeding, according to the EBC. In addition, the assessment of the step mastery was done by self-assessment based on this tool and the telephone checks that were conducted. And as we know, there are many ways to determine implementation of a step, whether it's by chart records or audits that are now done by Baby Friendly, and so this was really kind of a key informant type of process. So in conclusion, a statewide coalition does expedite the implementation of the Baby Friendly Hospital designation and progress through the 4D pathway, and we saw an increase in both NE and exclusive breastfeeding during this project period, both in healthy as well as sick newborns, and that the increase in breastfeeding actually correlated with the steps implemented. And as Ben Franklin said, well done is better than well said.
Thank you, Lori. Time for a question or two.
Right, so this was funded through the CDC CPPW STI grant, and we gave $10,000 mini grants to each of the 10 hospitals that had applied for the mini grants and were successful. And they could use the $10,000 any way they saw fit. They just had to give us a budget report. Many of them actually used it to pay for the designation phases. As many know, in the United States, under Baby Friendly USA, each of the different Ds or phases of the 4D pathway cost $2,000 to get through the next phase.
$3,300.
So,
$3,300
now. Did it go up?
Yeah.
I didn't know it went up. It's $3,300. Well, it's a good thing we did it. Well, it's a good thing we all started back when we did, right? So. Ooh, that would be a question for you. this was a piece of the entire CPPW grant. This was just a sub portion of the entire CPPW grant. But you could probably speak to that. Yeah, yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm Janet Drew. I worked with Shaping MJ and the budget. My recollection.
But, you know, I think you bring up a great point, Melissa, and I know, sort of thinking ahead of maybe what you're thinking about this, what's the cost of doing this, and what's the benefit? You know, what is the cost analysis? And there was a cost analysis published in Pediatrics that gave us some flavor of whether it's a cost-effective thing to do for any hospital. I think that's, you know, something that needs to be done. I think we have to take inventory of all these types of projects that have shepherded hospitals through this process, which does require an investment in time and funding, and then figure out a cost analysis in really doing this as a nation, let alone throughout the world.
Yeah, that's the key, is that the benefit is
If we can have the other speakers come up, we can linger past 10 o'clock. I know it's a 30-minute break. If anybody else hasn't signed the sign-up sheet, please do that. If we have all the speakers come up, we can linger past 10 o'clock for a panel discussion.
I would love to have other speakers tell me what their comments cost.
For Tennessee, I am not aware of the amount of money that is put aside for the TIPQC project. Our medical director, Dr. Grubb, always says we're functioning on a shoestring budget. So it pays for some of his time to be our medical director and our project manager and the biostatisticians that work with him. And then, as the other question mentioned, none of the hospitals are paid anything for us.
For Lachon NYC, we had a cost of about $30,000 for the public awareness campaign. Currently, we supply some of the materials, so we needed to make sure that in our budget we have lines for materials that hospitals can substitute for the ones that they take out from the companies. But that's part of our budget in general, and then staff is in kind.
The Best Fed Beginnings Project is funded by the CDC, and we pay for the hospitals to get through the 4D pathway, and then they have to pay for their own way to the learning sessions and also for the assessor fees when they come and do the site visit.
But the overall Best Fed Beginnings budget is what? $3 million?
I think it's six?
I thought it was $6 million over 3 years.
Yeah, it's over 3 years. It's either $5 or $6 million.
Sorry, I just pipe in. Ours was just a research project, so it was done for about $60,000 US dollars, actually, very cheap.